buckle your seatbelt. Keep your hands and feet on the inside of the vehicle. We're about to lift off. It's the Bible Tour. With your tour guide, Peter Peterson.
Hey there, Bible tourists! Welcome back to the Bible Tour podcast, where we take a look through the Bible, book by book, as we tour through it. I'm your tour guide, Peter Peterson, and today we are going to be taking a look at Genesis chapters 1 through 11. Wow! Anyway, here we are, still on the road to Emmaus, waiting for the time biplane to be fixed. How's it going over there, Pontius?
Okay, I'll get it going.
Why are we here? Well, if you remember last time, we crash-landed here on this road and overheard a conversation between Jesus and his disciples. He was telling them that the whole Bible was about Jesus and what he has done to save us from our sins. That's right, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus. It looks as if the biplane won't be ready today, but I have arranged for some other transportation with a couple of wild stallions.
Welcome to Two Words.
No, not Jacob Smith or Sean Norris, but they should be here any minute. But before they get here, let's take a quick look at where we will be going. We are going back to the beginning to study Genesis. No, not the 80s rock band Genesis, the book of Genesis. Which book contains the creation of the world? Which book talks about Nimrod, the great warrior and hunter before the Lord? Which book has 50 chapters? What exit don't? That's right, Genesis, the first book of the Bible, is written by Moses as part of the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. The Torah is also known as the Sorry, I shouldn't sneeze on the microphone. It's called the Pentateuch. That's right, the Pentateuch. Sorry, that's the best Pentateuch joke I know. The first five books of the Bible are written by Moses at the top of Mount Sinai as he spoke with God. God gives laws to the people of Israel and tells them their history so that they would know where they had come from and where they were going. Genesis, the first book of the Pentateuch, tells of the origins of the people. It tells them where they have come from, and it goes back right to the beginning of the whole world. Hold on a second. Hold on. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K.
Greetings, my excellent friends.
Rufus!
Dudes, you guys are gonna go back in time.
Yeah!
You are going to have the most excellent adventure through history.
Hey, Bill and Ted, thanks for turning up. Let's get ready to go back in time. Is Rufus coming along?
Listen to this dude, Rufus. He knows what he's talking about.
Right.
Okay, let's hop in the time-traveling 80s phone booth and get ready to travel back in time. Don't forget to wind your watches.
Excellent.
Brace yourselves, amigos. Gentlemen, we're history.
Whoa! Now where are we, dude?
Shh, hold on. Let's have a listen and see.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Wait a second.
We covered this bit last time, but that's what Genesis 1 is about. God creates the world starting with light on day 1, and the seas and the sky separate on day 2. And on day 3, God makes the land and fills this land with plants and vegetation, trees, carrots, and daffodils. On the next 3 days, God fills his creation. He fills the sky with the sun and the moon and the stars on day 4. On day 5, he fills the sea with the fish and the sky with the birds. And on day 6, he fills the land with animals, bugs, and human beings. Every day, God saw what he had made, and it was good. And all his creation together was very good. This is the world that we live in. Genesis 2 tells us that on the seventh day God rested from his work. Then the rest of chapter 2 retells the creation account, focusing mainly on God making man from the dust of the earth.
All we are is dust in the wind, dude.
He makes the man a garden to live in called the Garden of Eden. And in the midst of this garden was the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which God told Adam, the man, not to eat from. This was God's command. Adam named all the animals, and when God saw that he was alone, God created a woman by putting Adam into a deep sleep and removing his rib. She's the best looking girl Adam had ever seen. She was the most beautiful girl in the world. And they were made for each other. Blah, what is this cheesiness? Who writes this stuff? Let's hop back in the phone booth. Here we are in the Garden of Eden. Isn't it awesome? But look over there, a snake is in that tree, and he's talking to the woman. Let's go in for a closer listen.
Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"?
We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die."
You will surely not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will
be open. As you can hear,
and you will be like God.
The snake is tempting Eve to eat the fruit, and she does give in. She and Adam eat the fruit that they were told not to eat.
Bogus.
And then they realize they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. But God comes down. He knows what they have done, and he must punish them for their disobedience. To the woman he says,
"I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you."
And to the man he says,
"Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth off for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return."
But listen to this. Before he said these things to the man and to the woman, he said to the snake,
"The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.'"
Did you hear? God says that he will make the offspring of the woman and the snake enemies, and the offspring of the woman will crush the serpent's head, even though his heel will be bruised. This is good news. In the future, a descendant of the woman, a descendant of Eve, will crush the serpent's head. A descendant of Eve will defeat sin. God has a plan to save Adam and Eve from the sin that they have committed. He makes clothes for them by killing an animal to cover their nakedness, and he sends them out of the garden. Let's hop in the phone booth and move a little bit forward in time. Now, Adam and Eve have two sons in Genesis chapter 4. Cain, who they thought was this promised one who had crushed the head of the serpent, and Abel, Cain, however, is far from this promised savior, and he kills his brother Abel because God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's. God sends Cain away, but gives him a mark saying that no one is allowed to kill him in revenge. He has sons who have sons who have sons. Adam and Eve have another son, Seth, and Genesis 5 is a long genealogy from Seth to Noah. Let's see if Bible tourist Andy can get all their names right.
When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. When Kenan lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. When Mahalalel lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. When Methuselah lived 187 years, he fathered Lachmeh. When Lachmeh lived 182 years, he fathered a son, and he called his name Noah. Also known as Toyota Noah, the greatest van of all time.
Yeah, nice one, Andy. Let's carry on. Genesis chapters 6 to 9 tell us the story of Noah's Ark. Sorry, wait, have you got a question there?
Ted, stand up. Now, who was Joan of Arc?
Noah's wife?
No. The world has gotten eviler and eviler. In fact, there is only one righteous man, Noah. So God tells him that he will flood the world and destroy everybody in it. So Noah better build a big boat. God sends two of every animal, and they all get onto the boat with Noah's family. God floods the world and destroys all of mankind except for Noah and his family, who were safe inside the ark. After the flood goes down, Noah and the animals get off the boat, and God puts a rainbow in the sky and makes a covenant with Noah that he will never flood the earth again. That's the old story that we all heard when we were kids. But after this, Noah gets drunk and passes out naked. Noah's son Ham has a good laugh, and he brings his brothers over to have a look. Shem and Japheth cover Noah up, and when Noah wakes up, he curses Ham's son Canaan because Ham disrespected him. This info will be useful later as we go through the Bible, particularly in the book of Joshua. Genesis 10 tells us about Noah's three sons' descendants who scatter throughout the earth with famous names like Egypt, Canaan, Cush, and one son, Nimrod, who sets up a major city called Babel. Let's hop in the machine again and go to Babel. Here we are in Babel, and the people are building a massive tower. This happens in Genesis 11. Welcome to Grand Design's Babel. The people of Babel have banded together to create a massive tower. Its views will be exceptional. But the question is, why are they doing it? Some say because they want to meet up with God in the heavens. Others say they are building it so tall so that they can survive the next flood. But the Bible says that the people want to make a name for themselves. They want people to see their tower and say, wow, look how great those people are for building this impeccable building. That's right, Bill and Ted, this tower is impressive, isn't it? And God himself came down to see this tower. God knew the motivation behind the people who were building the tower, and he knew that they wanted to be like God. Just like in the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, the people wanted to be like God, so they built themselves a big tower. God put the people's building project on hold when he confused their languages. He changed everybody's language so that no one could understand each other. Here we are checking in with the people again as they build their tower, but they seem to have run into a few problems.
Hey, pass the hammer.
Mach ich den Hammer, ist es lang genug?
Schöne Konverde Paar.
Das Mittagessen war gut.
With all the people babbling around, I don't think construction of this tower will ever be completed. That's it for Grand Design's Babel Edition. Tune in next week when we see how Mahalalel and his brothers have renovated Noah's Ark to make it a house worth living in. All the nations separate out, And at the end of chapter 11, the Bible focuses down on Shem's family. You see, Noah blessed Shem, and through Shem would come this promised savior. From here on out, the Bible is about one man, a descendant of Shem and his family. Because let's not forget that the whole Bible is not about the history of the human race primarily. Remember, it is about his story, about man's complete ruin and sin, and what God has done through Christ to bring us to him again. And what we have covered in these chapters all points to this. Let's go back quickly and have a look through these stories through the lens of the gospel, the good news about Jesus. In the beginning, the earth is in darkness. God says, let there be light, and he creates the whole world, just like how we are in darkness because of our sin. But God, through his word, Jesus, says, let there be light in our lives, and he creates in us a new heart with new desires. Jesus was tempted by the devil, just like Adam and Eve were, but he did not fall into temptation. Remember how Adam and Eve tried to cover themselves with leaves? We too try to cover up our sins with our own good works, but our good works are useless, like leaves trying to cover us. Jesus clothes us in his righteous robes, just like God clothed Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness. Abel was an innocent one who suffered, and his blood cries out for justice. His blood cries out to God saying, punish Cain. And Jesus too was an innocent one who suffered and died, but now his blood cries out for our forgiveness. He cries out, forgive those who persecute me. Noah and his family were rescued from God's judgment, the flood, in the ark. And Jesus is like the ark that passes through God's judgment to save those who are in him. Jesus is the promised savior in the line of Adam, Seth, Noah, and Shem. And we have no need to make a name for ourselves because Jesus has given us his name. He's given us his righteousness. And now God looks at our sinfulness and sees his perfect son. Jesus is the savior of the world, and he has come to rescue us from our sinfulness. And we will see this as we study all the rest of the book in the Bible. Wow, wasn't that great, Bill and Ted?
Excellent!
Well, it's getting late, and Ted forgot to wind his watch again, so we better set up camp here and babble. Next time, we'll be taking out the phone booth again and going through Genesis 12 to 25. Yeah! So, if you want, you can go ahead and read those chapters and send us your questions so that we can answer them on the show. Speaking of questions, if you have any questions from today's podcast or any of our previous podcasts, don't hesitate to email us at bible_tour@yahoo.co.nz or find us on Facebook and ask a question there. We might do a Q&A podcast, maybe with a special guest. So please send us any questions you had about Genesis 1 to 11. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Special thanks to my Bible study group and Andy for providing voices on this episode. If you want to support the show, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/BibleTourPodcast and like the show or give us a review on iTunes or Podomatic. These things help the show to be heard by more people. Also, check us out at cross-eyedchristian.blogspot.co.nz where the podcasts are posted along with other blog posts. Until next time, I'm your tour guide Peter Peterson, and thank you for traveling with the Bible Tour.
Score and 7 minutes ago, we, your forefathers, were brought forth upon a most excellent adventure, conceived by our new friends, Bill and Ted. These two great gentlemen are dedicated to a proposition which was true in my time, just as it's true today. be excellent to each other. And party on, dudes!